Gus Bishop, and this is the Virtual Business Show. There's always lots of discussion in the virtual assistant community around the world about what VAs should be calling themselves. Basically, the problem appears to be that after the term virtual assistant was kind of hijacked by outsourcing companies from cheaper labor countries and emerging economies like China, the Philippines, and India, even years after the publication of Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Workweek, and the interchanging of virtual assistant and freelancer in online job boards and sites like Upwork, it's no wonder that potential clients are confused about what a virtual assistant actually is and what they do. I was asked this question just recently by a potential client who said, "I've Googled it, but I'm really not much clearer." This client immediately thought of a call center, as many do. In fact, despite the years between first publication and now, he even mentioned Ferriss's book. All this can lead to difficulties when the time comes to negotiate a contract with the client, who can be operating under the misconception that a virtual assistant equates to cheap, and a lack of understanding about what a virtual assistant actually is. To make matters worse, articles emerge from time to time, like one on Productivity 501 that suggested the most common perception of a virtual assistant is someone working in a call center in India. Actually, it's more correct to say this is the most recent perception, not the most common, bearing in mind the VA industry began in the late 1980s and became tech-based in the 90s, decades before Tim Ferriss's book. Compound this with the fact that many people out there calling themselves virtual assistants actually aren't, and we've reached the point where there is so much confusion that many potential clients actually give up, and many professional VAs are truly worried in order to compete with offshore providers, they need to seriously reconsider their rates. These questions are covered in my three-part series at the podcast on offshore freelancers, so I won't go into them here again, but check those out. AI has also served to muddy the waters, with many calling themselves your virtual assistant, or message bots on sites with pop-ups like, "Hi, I'm Annie, your virtual assistant." This has culminated in VAs now asking, should we call ourselves something else? My answer is most definitely no. Many businesses in the last few years have transitioned to home-based or hybrid work environments, or for want of a better word, virtual teams. This doesn't help the situation. So let's start with what a VA is not. If you're a web designer providing services remotely, you are not a VA. If you're a graphic designer providing services remotely, you are not a VA. If you provide call center services, you are not a VA. If you're a book editor working from home, you are not a VA. If you coordinate events from your home office, you are not a VA. If you are a copy editor or proofreader working from home, you are not a VA. If you provide remote social media and marketing services for businesses, you are not a VA. If you run a team of people providing remote services of any kind to clients, you are not a VA. All of these people might provide services virtually, by which they mean remotely from clients, but what they are contractors or freelancers, not virtual assistants. Many VAs, including myself, do provide these types of services as part of their service offering, but the primary difference is a virtual assistant in the original definition, and remember, this is a definition that has been circulating since the early 1990s, is someone who provides remote administration services to clients. This definition has evolved over the years into a little more generally, a highly skilled, independent, professional entrepreneur, a business owner who provides remote administrative, technical, and/or creative business support services to clients locally, nationally, or globally. This definition evolved to incorporate those services provided by VAs who expanded their skill set, particularly with the emergence of technologies that enabled them to do so. But note the first one is administrative. If you don't provide clients with admin-type services, like traditional secretaries of old, you are not a virtual assistant, in my opinion. Again, you are a contractor or freelancer. It's worth remembering that the VA industry has been around in some form since 1981, when the Association of Business Support Services International began to support work-at-home mums in the US. But the term virtual assistant took another 10 years to be coined when Thomas Leonard used it in 1992 to refer to his then remote assistant. But the industry has only been in Australia since the mid-1990s, when the publicly accessible internet became more widely available. So beware anyone telling you that they have over 30 years' experience as a virtual assistant, in Australia at least. It is just not possible. I'll include on the podcast page a link to the first 25-year history of the virtual assistant industry. Many new entrants to the industry are using the term virtual assistant because they've done a course. Many are fresh out of high school. Some are using it because it's just the new catchword and they're trying to take advantage of the buzzwords. You are not a virtual assistant because you can type or make your way around Canva or WordPress or social media. A professional virtual assistant has usually transitioned years of employment in office administration and specialization, working in a particular industry or field in a corporate setting. They've honed their computer skills, been involved in advanced training courses, perhaps managed large offices, and often supervising junior staff, all whilst acting as assistant to the business owner. That's key. They have all at one point or another been assistant to a senior manager or the business owner. They are what's traditionally called executive assistants or personal assistants. This is how I got started before taking the skills I acquired after many years working as an EA and transitioning into my own practice in 2000. Some of these EAs or PAs could also have had responsibility for local area networks, created and maintained corporate websites when those became a thing, or been responsible for planning major events. A virtual assistant will partner with a business owner, sole operator, or other entrepreneur, get a full understanding of their needs, their business, and has a vested interest in helping that client reach their goals in their business. They can help implement procedures and systems to streamline processes for the business, act as a gatekeeper in the traditional way a secretary did, speak to third parties on behalf of a client, schedule appointments, respond to email, arrange travel, book in real life events, or manage online meetings. In short, they help to give a professional image to the solopreneur or business owner who may not have the time or resources to do it themselves or have their own in-house secretary. This is what is meant by admin. They will, of course, also do things like produce documents, write policies, put together presentations, board papers, minute meetings, and a myriad of other projects as requested from time to time by the client. Some of the other things that virtual assistants often do, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, can include document production or word processing, including letters, reports, spreadsheets, and so on, proofreading and editing services, copywriting, desktop publishing, including newsletters, price lists, menus, flyers, brochures, and advertising materials, bookkeeping, including preparation of BAS if they're registered and meet ATO requirements in Australia, transcription services, so that can be digital, tape, or shorthand, email response, including monitoring of email accounts either online or via remote access to client computers or using Exchange servers, calendar management, function arrangement, travel, including booking flights, accommodation, rental cars, and so on, telephone answering services, database setup and management, contacts management and customer relationship management, including CRM management, mailouts, virtual office, if the client doesn't have an office of their own, including provision of email address, phone, and post office box, internet research, eBay purchasing and other gift purchasing services, article submissions to online resources, link exchange programs and other internet relationship marketing, web design and updating of sites, word process site management, blog control including setup and posting, forum moderation, web conferencing and VoIP conferencing services, podcasting and audio editing services including podcast management, video editing services, captioning of videos, on-site filing and office management. Some, not all, but certainly some will work on-site from time to time. Association management, secretariat management, presentation preparation in PowerPoint or Keynote, for example, graphics creation, social media management, including setup, posting, and comment moderation, sales funnel creation, including sign-up forms and landing pages, email marketing services, including newsletter creation and automation, help desk services, and training in various software. As I said, this isn't necessarily all a VA can do, and not all VAs provide all these services. So if there's something you're not sure a VA can do or you'd like done but isn't on the list I just provided, simply ask. They'll let you know if it's something they can do, feel comfortable doing, or would like to do. And there isn't much a VA can't do. So this is what sets a professional virtual assistant apart and differentiates them not only from freelancers, but from offshore service providers. My belief has always been that education is the key, and education not just of potential clients, but also for anyone wanting to enter this industry. The onus rests most decidedly on professional virtual assistants themselves to educate clients, potential clients, and others about the industry and what it is that we do. And more importantly, what differentiates us from the cheaper offshore providers. If you're a VA, a professional VA, even one with a multi-VA practice, which effectively is an agency, it is your responsibility to continually educate potential clients about what it is that sets us apart. If you want quality work with quality clients who value what you bring to the partnership, then work towards setting yourself apart. Remember, it's never about the money once the value has been established. Educate your potential clients on your value to them and the value professional virtual assistants bring. If you're a client looking for quality, professionalism, someone who gets the job done correctly the first time, a real partnership with a professional service provider who is keen to see you succeed and takes a vested interest in your business and its success, then look for a virtual business service provider who fits what you need. Start with the testimonials on their website, which should be from existing or past clients, and they should be verifiable, not just words on a page. Talk to them on the phone or in Zoom meetup so that you can ask questions and get a feel for the VA, their personality, and the way they work. Personality is paramount in the virtual relationship, as is trust, and you can't get that by relying simply on what's said on a website or social media, which, as we all know, is never about truth, accuracy, or authenticity. I'm not a doctor just because I can put a band-aid on a skinned knee. Similarly, you can't call yourself a professional virtual assistant just because you can type or talk a good game or your marketing is on point. Fake it till you make it does not work in this industry. Anyone can type these days. Not everyone can bring the value to a business that partnering with a professional virtual assistant can. I think it's time we reclaim the name. I'm Lynn Prowse Bishop. Thanks so much for listening.